from Exodus, the 17th chapter. Water from the rock. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Stuck. Stuck between the shackling comforts of Egypt and the liberating promised land of milk and honey. Why, God? Why, God, would you put me in this wilderness in between? All around me is burning sand and jagged rock and the stench of dried out carcasses. No relief in sight. The whole world seems to have gone white-hot mad. Can't watch the news or read posts online and not start to feel a little dried out, a little bit thirsty. The Christian church is being persecuted, is in decline, the challenges we face ever increasing. And even believers are not immune to scorching betrayal and loneliness and sadness. Where is the water that soothes? Sin, sickness, and death, it causes us to wither away like a desert rose under the burning sand. Was our hope just a mirage? And so we grumble about our jobs, about our families, about our health, about our circumstances. We grumble and we are ready to stone the messenger of what appears to be a message of false hope. You promised us the promised land. Freedom from fear, peace in our hearts, water that gives life. And we see none of it out there. The journey just seems to end in desolation out there. So we pick up our stones in the sand and we raise our arms for the throw. "Why do you quarrel with me?" says the messenger. "Why do you test the Lord? Was it not your evil ways, your fears, your unbelief that derailed us off course and into this waste place?" It's true. It's true. We grumble with lips chapped by sin, throats parched by our iniquities. We have tested the Lord. We deserve to be left in Massah and Meribah, rightfully named, because we have quarreled with God. Crying out, is the Lord among us or not? And it's in this waste place that we find ourselves being driven into the sand, as we see Satan trying to take hold of our children, divide our families, cause conflict at work, that terminal diagnosis of the one that we love. As our parents age and children leave the house, when we stand at the gravesite, and all those goodbyes seem so very, very final. Are you among us, Lord? I am so, so thirsty. Indeed, Martin Luther knew this thirst as well. Because in the end, what we truly thirst for is a righteousness on the path to the promised land. And he knew, as we do, that to find true righteousness within ourselves would be like getting water from a rock. Despairing from thirst, crying out to the Lord. And God hears our cries, even our grumbling, and yet he has mercy. Jesus himself will stand in our wilderness. He will face Satan's temptation to test God. Amid unbearable thirsting, an enticement to turn stone to bread as he starves to death. And he will bear his own cross that he will carry to that desolate place, that place of the skull called Golgotha. And after his torture and his crucifixion, knowing that all is now finished for righteousness, what does Jesus say to fulfill the scriptures? Jesus says, I thirst. I thirst. The very same scripture that says of our Messiah, my God, why have you forsaken me? I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Here we see, hanging from a cross, yes, the Lord is among us, even in our greatest of thirst. All this that you would know, that the word and the promises of God have been fulfilled. Christ has kept the law perfectly on your behalf, obedient even unto death without a grumble or complaint. Did you hear what I said? My God himself cries out into the darkness on a cross, I thirst. He thirsts for you. He thirsts for your forgiveness, for your salvation, for your everlasting peace. He thirsts in his forsakenness that you would never be alone. He thirsts to fulfill the scripture that says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." The foolishness that water would come from a rock in the desert, now the foolishness of the cross. Because there on Mount Calvary, the rock of our salvation is struck with a spear and the living water flows. As Christ himself is poured out like water into your baptism that soothes our souls. Now the wells of this world might leave us thirsting, but this is the water that when we drink from it, we will never thirst again. It's poured over our lips, chapped by sin, and they are healed, down our throats, parched by iniquity, and it is slaked and soothed by the spring that wells forth. You may think that your thirst for forgiveness and peace and hope are unquenchable, but this is a well that springs eternal. This is a fountain that is inexhaustible. In Christ, there is an endless supply of mercy and grace and hope and love. And in his word and sacraments, he bids us to come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And in his own words, "I thirst," is our assurance that our earthly thirst will not last forever in a barren wilderness, because on the third day, a risen Savior steps into a garden so that we too will be taken into a new Eden where flows the river of the water of life, as bright as a crystal, flowing from the very throne of God and the Lamb. Jesus says, "Tear down this temple," speaking of his crucifixion, "and in 3 days the temple will be rebuilt in the resurrection." And do you know what flows in every direction from the temple in heaven? Rivers. Rivers of water. Brothers and sisters, no one thirsts in heaven. No one thirsts in heaven. We will all have our barren days in the wilderness when all we see is hot sand and dry rock all around us, but the day is coming soon, the day that we will truly never thirst again, the day when the cool, sweet water will pour, given to us from the rock of all ages when he returns. And so come with me, my fellow grumblers. Let's go to the rock together. Let's ask for he who is our living water. He knows our thirst. He knows what we truly thirst for. And he comes to shower us and to fill us with his love that outpours everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.